An outstanding edition of Wits just ahead. I'm John Moe, your host, inviting you to enjoy comedy, conversation, songs, surprises, and wonderful guests like actor Colin Hanks.
Hey, John, so tell me about this character Colin. Who is he?
He's you? I don't understand.
John, I'm a professional actor. You say there's a character named Colin Hanks on the show? I figure I better play him. Can't leave a part like that to dilettantes. So who is Colin Hanks, and what makes him tick?
I guess appearing in sketches and talking with me and hanging out with musical guest Jason Isbell. Hi, Jason.
John, does this show involve talking? I'm more of a singer. I never talk. I don't know how.
You don't know how? Aren't you talking right now?
No, that's singing. I'm a professional singer. My singing is so good, it sounds like talking.
Okay, a great show ahead with Colin Hanks as Colin Hanks, Jason Isbell singing and talking that sounds like singing. It's Wits from the Fitzgerald Theater in St. Paul, and it's coming right up. From APM, American Public Media, and Minnesota Public Radio, this is Wits. I'm John Moe. And evolution is coming to an end. It had a good run. Millions of years of species changing, thriving, changing some more. The winners earning food and procreation and survival. But those high stakes are gone, which brings me to my largely useless dog, Dave. Dave's ancestors are wolves, and our yard at my house doesn't lack prey. Squirrels and bunnies all over the place, all affording a chance to demonstrate dormant lupine instincts. When Dave, however, spots a bunny, he'll hunker down, his eyes filled with killer intent. He'll spring toward it, and then suddenly lose interest and wander away. Dave chases squirrels also until they run up a tree, and then he'll trot back triumphantly, not realizing that squirrels are in trees most of the time anyway. It's like chasing a car onto a road. Several months ago, Dave actually caught a squirrel, and not knowing what to do, he just sat on it for a while, as if the killing parts of the dog were located on the butt. It's our fault. We neutered Dave and we gave him a dog food that he likes. And you take away the motivations of food and sex in someone's life and they might as well just sit on squirrels. The hell else are they gonna do? But this pattern of small mammal uselessness is not limited to one neurotic dog. It extends throughout my neighborhood here in St. Paul. A while back, a neighborhood cat started coming around our backyard to hang out, a cat named Jack. Giving regular guy names to pets is apparently a trend where I live. I've heard of but never met a dog named Chris that supposedly lives nearby. We called Jack, the cat's owner, and they said he's kind of a free spirit. He spends nights in houses all over the neighborhood. Well, you know, I don't want to judge Jack for that. I do, however, want to judge Jack. See, one night, there was a mouse in our yard, and Jack the cat was over visiting, and Dave the dog was out there too. And here's how it went down. The dog refused to chase the cat. The cat wasn't scared of the dog. It just sort of sauntered heavy-lidded around the yard. The cat would walk up to the mouse to get a look at it, but never actually raise a paw to hurt it. The mouse, for its part, wasn't especially afraid of the cat. Instead, it lazily climbed up a tree like squirrels are supposed to. I watched all this go down and I shouted, "None of you guys are doing your jobs." They didn't care. They didn't even know how to care. They were like three characters from a Chekhov play, but furry and walking on all fours. These animals will never go to Moscow. Now, what up, liberal arts? Now, I know how evolution works. Maybe Dave and Jack and Pointless Mouse are meant to be the ones who die out. Thing is, they're all eating and surviving and thriving. So what adaptive purpose is served by their torpor and or ennui? I've been thinking about it, and there are only two possible answers. either a sort of perfect state of being full of interspecies harmony has been struck, where traditional mammalian roles can finally be shuffled off, or life on Earth is so screwed that animals have just started to give up. I better hang out in my yard some more to figure out which. We got a great show. Colin Hanks is here. Also, singer-songwriter Jason Isbell. He's an actor who's appeared on Dexter, The Good Guys, Mad Men, and Roswell, and movies like King Kong, Orange County, and The House Bunny. Colin Hanks, welcome to Wits.
Thank you very much for having me. Thank you, everybody.
I want to talk about some TV shows you've been on.
All right.
Fairly recently. You appear on some of these shows that have already been kind of chugging along for a while, and I would imagine that you had already watched Mad Men, Dexter. What was it like as maybe a viewer of these shows to kind of walk onto those sets, kind of step into this world?
Well, Mad Men the way that happened was actually sort of very strange. This story kind of got me on the show, I think. I had remembered seeing a story in the New York Times in the business section. It was basically about someone from The Sopranos is making a show about advertising. And I thought that was really interesting, and I read the article, and I said, oh, that seems like a good show. I'll watch that. What channel is it on? AMC? Well, okay, whatever. And about a year and a half later, it premiered, and I was shooting something, I think it was shooting House Bunny, and I watched the 5 episodes, and I was floored. But more importantly, I went, oh, my God, I could be on this show. It wouldn't be a stretch.
Why was that?
Well, look, I can watch Sopranos.
You're not a Soprano.
I'm not one of the dudes on The Sopranos. That's not going to happen. But a fresh-faced dude in a suit, I could do that.
You could do that.
So I spent about a year and a half trying to get a meeting with Matt Weiner, and I got the meeting, and I told him the story, and ended up getting it, and I just didn't know that the suit was going to be not quite the suit that I was thinking.
You played a priest.
Because I played a priest,
right,
yeah.
Right, right.
So I was really hoping to be like, you know, a booze-swilling, smoking ad man, and that he gave me the role of a priest.
Careful what you wish for.
Yeah.
You know, and then on Dexter, you played, surprisingly enough for Dexter, a murderer.
Yes.
What's the hardest part about playing a killer?
Oh, geez, that's a good question. I mean, Dexter was so different because so much of that show, he didn't really know that he was, he was a killer. He was a really messed up killer. I think, you know, a lot of people ask, like, man, that must be hard, like, going home with that. And that's not the case at all. Like, as soon as I went home, I was fine. You know, I had a little baby at the time, and I was like, oh, fabulous, I'm home. It was getting up in the morning and going. That's kind of hard.
To try to enter that mind space?
Yeah. Well, and then it's like, deeply religious, dark stuff that, you know, it's not a happy headspace to be in, you know. But Eddie James Olmos, who played, you know, the other bad guy, for those that haven't watched the show yet.
Spoiler alert.
He would always just sort of say, like, hey, man, you're doing great. Don't worry about it. You're great. That was scary. Oh, that was good.
All right, well, Colin Hanks, I'm not sure you know this. I think you do. But your father is the acclaimed actor Tom Hanks.
What?
I know.
I thought it was Michael Keaton.
No. It's an easy mistake to make. And that means you've had a lifetime of answering dumb questions about your dad.
Yes.
And with that in mind, we have prepared a list of dumb questions about your dad, and we want you to answer them.
I will not plead the fifth on any of them. Let's go.
All right, first one. Do you ever get together with Peter Scolari's kids for recreational cross-dressing?
Only on Sunday afternoons.
All right. If you win an Oscar, will your dad say, oh, wow, one Oscar, that's nice?
Probably, yes.
Okay. On some level, won't your dad always love Andy and the other toys a bit more than you?
Yes, absolutely. Without a doubt, every time. And that goes for all the other siblings as well.
Okay. how old were you when you realized that in Big, your dad, as a 12-year-old, pretty much had sex with a grown-up lady?
That was last week.
Okay. On some level, won't your dad always love a certain brand of volleyball a bit more than you?
Yes, but we call that volleyball Spalding.
What was it like growing up on a houseboat in Seattle?
It was rocky.
How many clumsy romantic encounters have you had with Meg Ryan's kids over the years?
We've emailed a few times, but that's it.
Have you ever just let loose and cried a whole bunch during a baseball game because don't tell me what to do, Dad?
Why do you think I'm such a huge fan of hockey?
How many of Hooch's puppies do you currently own?
9.
All right. And final question, can you eat free at any Bubba Gump shrimp company by simply saying, do you know who I am?
Never been, never will.
Thank you. Colin Hanks, everyone. We'd like to welcome a new sponsor to WITS this week. It's a professional services company that is, I'm just going to say, somewhat unorthodox.
Don Bagelson, professional friend.
Do you suffer sleepless nights, aimless thoughts, lonely mall trips, lackluster snacks, a pet dog with a human name, bear traps? Then you might need to talk to somebody. May I suggest myself? I'm me, Doug Bagelson, professional friend. Why do you need a professional friend, you ask? Well, you probably just said that out loud to no one, so you already have your answer. My services include replying to email, laughing at your jokes, living in your house, dating your mom, playing board games, and wearing your clothes. Here's a satisfied customer.
I'm not a customer. This man said he would give me 3 cakes to say nice things about him. You can't find a more cake-promising man than Doug.
You see, ever since I lost my shirt in an elaborate Ponzi scheme, I haven't been bogged down with the hassles of work, or a wife, or a house, or a shirt. More time to focus on you and our new friendship. Please send all requests and payments to me, personally. I'm around.
Don Bagelson, professional friend.
Support for WITS comes from Arrested Development, Arrested Development. The beloved sitcom is back, this time starring 90s hip-hop group Arrested Development. Featuring Speech as Michael, DJ Headliner as Job, Razadon as Buster, and that old guy who just hangs around doing nothing. Streaming now on, let's say, MySpace. Support also comes from the Miami Heat, proud to join death and taxes in the list of depressing inevitabilities. Additional funding provided by the MC Escher Infinite Mobius Loop Fund, which also provides additional funding made possible by the MC Escher Infinite Mobius Loop Fund. And then it just keeps going on like that. Funding also provided by MC Escher. He's MC Escher, and he's here to say the stairs on this poster go a couple of ways. And from MC Hammer, who's wondering if, now that it's been a few decades, is it okay to just hurt him a little? More to come with actor Colin Hanks and musician Jason Isbell. This is WITS. I'm John Moe.
Thank you.
This is Wits. I'm John Moe. Our musical guest this week is a singer, songwriter, Alabaman, former member of Drive-By Truckers, and current leader of the band Jason Isbell and the 400 Unit. His latest album is Southeastern. Here, along with our own John Munson and the Witnesses, is Jason Isbell. The
song's called Live Oak. It's going to be on Southeastern. That's the new record. There's a man who walks beside me. He is who I used to be. And I wonder if she sees him and confuses him with me. And I wonder who she's pining for on nights I'm not around. Could it be the man who did the things I'm living down? I was rougher than the timber, shipping out of Fond du Lac. When I headed south at 17, the sheriff on my back. I'd never held a lover in my arms or in my gaze. So I found another victim every couple days. But the night I fell in love with her, I made my weakness known to the fighters and the farmers digging dusty fields alone. The jealous innuendos of the lonely hearted men let me know what kind of country I was sleeping in. Well, you couldn't stay alone or on the plains before the war. When my neighbors took to slighting me, I had to ask what for. Rumors of my wickedness had reached our little town. Soon she heard about the boys I used to hang around. We'd robbed a Great Lakes freighter, killed a couple men aboard. When I told her, her eyes flickered like the sharp steel of a sword. All the things that she'd suspected I'd expected her to fear was the truth that drew her to me when I landed here. There's a man who walks beside me, he is who I used to be. And I wonder if she sees him and confuses him with me. And I wonder who she's pining for on nights I'm not around. Could it be the man who did the things I'm living down? Leaf pine and buried her so deep she touched the water table line. And I picked up what I needed and I headed south again. To myself I wondered, would I ever find another friend? And there's a man who walks beside her, he is who I used to be. And I wonder if she sees him and confuses him.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Jason Isbell with John Munson and the Witnesses. Hello, Jason. Welcome to Wits.
Thanks for having me.
That's from the new album. What's Southeastern? What's the new album about?
Ooh, that's a good question. It's about lots of stuff. It's mostly about me, though. I'm not used to that. I'm used to making up stories that are about other people. This time I made up a bunch of fictional stories about myself.
How does that work? What do you mean?
Well, it's not what it sounds like.
So you didn't actually go on a crime spree as described? No.
It's funny because nobody ever asks Schwarzenegger if he was really the Terminator, you know? But if you write a song in the first person, people are always saying, wow, really? That was you, that was your life? That was I like to not have to tell people what's about me and what's not. Just maybe they can imagine I killed a few people 150 years ago.
It's worked for me.
There you go. But no, it's a more personal record. I like to take things that I'm feeling and try to explain them to myself by building a story, building characters, and then letting them behave in my stead, letting them just kind of screw their lives up and see. You know, it's a good way to test out what sort of decisions I should make.
I was reading, you've been doing some touring with Ryan Adams, and I was reading that you guys do laser tag and go to theme parks when you're out on the road.
We did a lot of that. Yeah, the laser tag thing was great because they just opened the laser tag up for us and it was mandatory that all the crew people had to be there to play laser tag. He's really into like metal music and cats and lasers. And
I don't know what, I can imagine you going out and going to theme parks and playing laser tag, but Ryan just strikes me as too grumpy for theme parks.
Oh. No, you know, he's not really very grumpy, I don't think. If you keep him occupied, he's not very grumpy.
Let that be a lesson for all of us. If you're traveling with Ryan Adams, bring puzzles, bring...
Dungeons and Dragons.
Dungeons and Dragons.
That was it.
That did it. You're from Muscle Shoals, Alabama, and for those people who don't know, fill us in on the significance musically of Muscle Shoals.
For a little while there, I think all the best music on earth was coming out of Muscle Shoals, but not, you know, I'm a little biased, but... A lot of my favorite recordings came out of there. I got to know a lot of the people who worked on that stuff before I actually was that familiar with their catalog.
And it's this one sort of iconic recording studio, right?
Well, there was two. There was the Fame Studio in Muscle Shoals, and then down the street in Sheffield, there was the Jackson Highway Muscle Shoals Sound, they called it. And there was only Fame, and then they were competing against each other. And the Rolling Stones would go to Muscle Shoals Sound, the Staple Singers would go to Fame, and that kind of thing. And the people who worked on those records were still out playing in bars and restaurants and stuff when I was a teenager. So wow. I could go sit in and play those songs with those folks. It was pretty special.
I've looked at maps, and Muscle Shoals isn't a big place. Why did this town in northern Alabama become this, you know, hotbed?
In my case, in a lot of people's cases, I think in lieu of child care, you would learn how to play an instrument so you didn't get out and get in trouble and break stuff. I spent all my time with my grandparents and aunts and uncles, and they were musicians. And to keep me busy, I think they so I wouldn't get grumpy, they taught me how to play the guitar.
Keep him occupied. Keep him occupied. Well, I'm glad they did. Jason Isbell, everyone. You're listening to Wits. I'm John Moe, the host of it, here with actor Colin Hanks and musician Jason Isbell.
A place to hide, a place to hide. Ooh, this room looks like a good spot.
Ah! Hello, Waldo.
Dad, Mom, guys, what are you all doing here?
Waldo, honey, we need to talk to you. This is what's called an intervention.
No. I don't need this now. This stupid door is locked.
Waldo, we're here because we love you, and we need to talk to you about your hiding problem.
Hiding? What are you talking about? I haven't been hiding.
You're ducking behind a barbershop pole as we speak. I'm good at Where's Waldo, son. I've been playing it for years.
Waldo, now each of us has written you a letter about how your hiding has affected us, and we'd like for you to hear them.
Okay, look, I hide, but I don't have a problem, okay? This is ridiculous.
Oh, is it, Waldo?
Hey, no, Wenda, come on, you know me, tell them.
It's my turn to talk.
Go ahead,
Wenda.
Stay
strong. Dear Waldo, when we met on that underwater, sunken pirate ship, I thought I found my soulmate. We both loved exploring, wearing stripes, and surrounding ourselves in crowds of people that are dressed like us. But last month when you missed our wedding and I found you hiding in a submarine behind a basket of peppermints, that was the last straw!
Look, I was lost, all right? It happens.
Is that so, Waldo? Yes, it is I, Wizard Whitebeard. That guy with a long beard that shows up in all of your adventures. Tell me, did you get lost after I lent you that $1,500? You said you needed it to open up a binocular business, but the next day you were gone. crash-landed on the moon in a red and white spaceship.
Oh, come on, Wiz. Look, no one could have foreseen the collapse of the binocular industry.
I don't care about the money, Waldo. I just want you to stop hiding.
Look, don't you get it? All right, I hide to be found. I get people to ask, where's Waldo? Because no one ever asks, who's Waldo? How's Waldo? Why is Waldo? Or when is Waldo? Okay, well, I guess that last one isn't quite so crucial, but you understand what I'm saying.
All right, honey, now I am just gonna come right out and ask, are you dealing drugs? I mean, all of the disguises and the location changes, the flights to Buenos Aires, and the cash. You're unemployed. How could you afford all those trips to outer space and Atlantis?
It all makes perfect sense. How could we have been so blind?
Okay, look, I'm not a drug dealer, okay? I'm a drug mule. All right, I smuggle illicit drugs in and out of the country while hiding in plain sight.
But how?
Norwegian mafia found me skiing down the slopes of the North Pole. They were impressed at how I could just blend in among other skiers dressed exactly like me. At first, I agreed, but only for a few jobs, just to pay off my gambling debts. But I got in too deep, and I've done things. Bad things.
Oh, now whatever you've done, Waldo, I'm sure it's forgivable. You're so cute and plucky.
I killed a man with a candy cane, Mom.
Police, open up.
Oh, quick, Waldo, hide behind this beach ball.
No. No, Mom, it's over. All right, that whole time I've been trying to hide, I've really been hiding from myself, all right? Stand back, all right? Let's solve this puzzle for good.
Waldo, you're under arrest for... wait, he was here a second ago.
Good gravy, he's gone again.
No, guys, I'm standing right here in front of you. I literally haven't moved an inch.
Oh, wow. He's so good at
that. That's amazing.
Come on, Waldo, time to go to jail forever.
Well, at least I already know I look good in stripes.
Oh, that Waldo, he's such a murderer.
Here again is Jason Isbell.
This next one's one of my favorite songs. I think it might be the best country and western song anybody ever wrote. And I didn't write it, but
I've written it down.
Living on the road, my friend, is gonna keep you free and clean. Now you wear your skin like iron. Your breath's as hard as kerosene. Weren't your mama's only boy, but her favorite one, it seemed. She began to cry when you said goodbye. Sank into your dream. Poncho was a bandit boy. His horse was fast, his polished steel, and he wore his gun outside his pants for all the honest world to feel. But Poncho met his match, you know, on the deserts down in Mexico. Nobody heard his dying word. That's the way it goes. Now the fatter, I'll let you say they kindness, I suppose. Lefty, he can't sing the blues all night long like he used to. Does the poncho bit down south? It ended up in Lefty's mouth. Day they laid poor poncho low, Lefty split for Ohio. And where he got the bread to go? Tell how Poncho fell. Lefty's living in a cheap hotel. Desert's quiet, Cleveland's cold. And so the story ends, we're told. Poncho needs your prayers, it's true. Save a few for Lefty too. He only did what he had to do. Getting old.
Jason Isbell, John Munson and the Witnesses, Joe Savage on the harmonica over there.
Doug Bagelson, professional friend.
Doug Bagelson, professional friend here. Some of you still seem skeptical of professional friendship and have asked me, why do I need professional friendship? And who are you? Or how did you get into my house? Well, let me put your mind at ease. Professional friendship offers many benefits, such as emotional support, picking up your dry cleaning, playing Settlers of Catan,
a board game,
sending packages, thoughtful hugs, picking up your mom for a date, signing your checks, and of course, living in your house free of charge.
Charge.
Look, here comes my assistant now.
I'm the overnight security guard at the bus station. You have to leave.
Please contact me personally for rates and services. Doug Bagelson, I have my own cot.
Doug Bagelson, professional friend.
Lots more to come. This is Wits. I'm John Moe. Hey, good looking. Come here often? To Wits, I mean, the show you're listening to. I'm John Moe with Colin Hanks and Jason Isbell. Pop song correspondences. A resignation letter from a member of the band Lynyrd Skynyrd. Hey, fellas. I won't be joining you for our show in Jacksonville or any future dates. I'm quitting the band. I've attached a song which will help explain things. I'm gonna be flying out in the morning.
If I leave here tomorrow, would you still remember me?
Being in a rock band is a lot of work, and at this stage in my life, I can't give Lynyrd Skynyrd my all, and you deserve that. My girlfriend Stacy begged me to stick around, and I had to tell her why I just couldn't.
'Cause I'm as free as a bird now, and this bird you
was crazy to think that I could have a relationship with Stacy or be a musician, since I am literally a bird. A rose-breasted grosbeak. I'm 7 inches long. I only weigh a couple ounces. Thanks for giving me a shot and teaching me human speech, though. I love you guys.
Please don't take it so badly, 'cause Lord knows I'm to blame.
I'm to blame for holding back the band, that's for sure. My wings just aren't suited for playing keyboards. I flap them down in the general direction of the notes I want to play, and we all know it sounds awful. We tried strapping little toy doll hands to the wings, but I can't change the fact that they're wings, and you're a people band. Now you don't have to include those keyboard solos, which were humiliating for all of us. And I was never able to hold my whiskey. One droplet, and I was out.
'Cause I'm as free as a bird now.
I love you!
And this bird you cannot change.
Oh, I bet you guys will be okay without me. Obviously, I've had to miss a lot of rehearsals over the years due to my migratory patterns. You guys would be rocking it down in Tallahassee, and I'd be up in the Yukon or down in Central America just foraging. Ronnie, I remember one time you asked me, why don't you just not migrate, Jeff? Why don't you change? But it's not like that, dude. Be told, I kind of ran out of ideas for lyrics, so I concentrated on not being able to change. I hope you picked up on that.
Lord, help me, I can't change.
Look, I appreciate all you've done for me, and if you record this song and it's a hit, please think of me and maybe buy me some insects to eat. I sure do love insects. It's possible you've hallucinated this entire conversation. Love, Jeff Monroe, Bird. And now the Wits game show. This week, nice move, bad guy. Colin Hanks and Jason Isbell, you're both known as nice guys. You've been very friendly with us. So this week, your challenge will be to see the good in some of history's worst people. I will give you the name of a notorious baddie, and you will both have to show me their more humane, more redeeming side. Colin, you will deliver a first-person monologue about the person and the side of them that makes them maybe not so bad after all. Jason, you bring us in song why they're maybe not so bad. I will declare a winner after each round in a manner that is both unfair and capricious. Nobody will be happy, but that's just the way it goes because it's my show. You ready? It doesn't matter. Here we go.
Okay.
Jason, you'll go first in this round. A song, please, showing the redemption of the inventor of decaf coffee.
Oh, no.
What would the offices and the library smell like if it wasn't for decaf coffee? I heard a man say once decaf coffee was a lot like kissing your sister. But I wouldn't know, I've never had decaf coffee.
Okay. Wow. So he seeks to be redeemed by the smell of libraries. That's a pretty low bar for you, Colin Hanks.
The tyranny of dust must end. Old ladies yelling you, shh. Yelling you, that's what they do. I must come up with something else. Something to make me stop thinking of kissing my sister. I'm so amped up. I gotta slow down, but yet I'm thirsty. What if I could make a coffee without caffeine? What would it be called?
Colin Hanks takes the round.
I'll call it decaf.
More for inner turmoil. I got to give some points up there for inner turmoil.
He meant that.
He did. All right. Colin Hanks, you go first here. Please show us what's not so bad, the redemption, possibly the kind act that pulls out of the fire the guy who does the voice for Barney the Dinosaur.
Oh, my God. I was not prepared for that. Hold on. I'm working on something. It's not going to be good, but I'm working on it. Listen. I know a lot of parents don't like me, okay? I understand. But you gotta understand, there was a period in life where I didn't love you, and you didn't love me, and we were not a very happy family.
All right. He's got some anger. He's gone on a journey.
Oh, no. I don't want to follow. That's like following a kid or a dog with a magic trick or something way better than me.
It is just like following a dog with a magic trick.
Well, I mean, dogs don't know magic tricks.
No, they don't.
All I can think about is...
Well, this used to be this pool hall where I would hang out and play pool. And there was a girl in there who was big in the posterior. And a couple times she would just fall right off her stool. And she couldn't walk too well. I don't think there was actually anything wrong with her legs. We all sort of assumed it was just from the big posterior, so we called her Baby Bop. And Barney was nice to Baby Bop. I remember that about the show. That's all I remember about the show or how it went, but she walked very, very slowly and she fell down a lot, and so we called her Baby Bop, and that was it.
I like the flourish at the end. I'm giving it to Colin Hanks,
yeah,
though.
He won it. He
no,
won
that's
it.
A Colin Hanks. All right, Jason Isbell, you go first on this one.
Okay.
Please show us, through song, what's not so bad, actually, after all, about mosquitoes.
Oh, let's see. Something not bad about mosquitoes.
Yeah. Possibly from the mosquitoes' point of view.
Possibly.
You like to make up stories as characters.
I do. I love to make up stories in front of people. This is exactly how I ride at home.
Right.
I call everybody I know and I say, come watch me pull my own teeth out. I know I suck. That's easy to tell. But listen up. There's just one detail I want you to know. It's not my fault, 'cause I'm a male mosquito. It's always the females who are sucking your blood.
Nice.
Look it up.
It didn't rhyme, but it was compelling.
Wait until I go.
Okay.
Wait
Colin
until
Hanks.
I go.
The competitive fire is stoked. Colin Hanks, ladies and gentlemen.
All right. I want you to imagine that I am an actor in a huge musical about mosquitoes, okay? And I am the lead mosquito in the song, and this is like the singy, talky part before a big song about mosquitoes. Maybe that one. But it's like, you know, the Music Man talky part, right? All right. But I'm just a mosquito. I'm so blue. I have long, skinny legs. And a big nose, too. Well, it ain't no fun being ugly and fat, sucking blood in the night like a vampire bat. And then we go into the big number. Oh.
It was a tightly fought contest. The winner was Colin Hanks. Congratulations to both Jason Isbell and Colin Hanks.
I share this title with you. I share it with you.
Hey, I know. Let's catch up on all the latest research. Yes, it's according to a recent study, our ongoing effort to bring you real results from actual research because you may or may not need to know. A new Harvard University report says people are completely kidding themselves about eating at Subway. Researchers asked fast food customers to estimate the number of calories in their meals. The average Subway respondent lowballed it by 500 calories. The biggest gap of all fast food restaurants. Even more shocking, most Subway customers don't even realize that Jared weighed 800 pounds at the time of his death from heart disease 3 years ago. British researchers have announced that according to their recent study, outdoor cooking grills have twice as many germs on them as toilet seats do, and at least three times as many hot dogs. The study is expected to cast something of a pall over the upcoming Her Majesty's Royal Invitational Toilet Seat Cookout Jamboree. Shame. And finally, diet soda as bad as meth or crack cocaine for your teeth, read the headline in a New York Daily News article about a new report in the journal General Dentistry. The report says that a woman in her 30s who drinks a 2-liter bottle of diet soda every day experienced the same tooth decay as a methamphetamine user and a crack user who were part of the same study, which I like to think ended in a really awkward party involving a sheet cake. So again, drinking a 2-liter bottle of soda every day is bad for you. The findings are also scheduled to be published in, of course, Dummy magazine. My body to my
professional friend.
Doug Bagelson, professional friend here. We're at the end of the show, folks, and I need a ride. Preferably to your home. I have my own hot plate.
Hot plate.
I'm fairly good at Boggle.
Boggle.
I don't really understand what your problem is. Professional friendship also includes tandem bike rides, funny photo booth pictures, late night talks about what we think the future holds. Me showing up at your place of employment unannounced. Inside jokes, and of course, stealing your stuff.
Where's my stuff?
Hey, Tiffany somebody, tell him about the thing.
He has his own cot!
I have my own cot. I'm Doug Bagelson. I'm waiting for your reply where you least expect me to be. Your bathroom.
Doug Bagelson, professional friend.
Here again is Jason Isbell.
Well, I moved into this room, if you could call it that, a week ago. I never do what I'm supposed to do. Hardly even know my name anymore. No one calls it out, kind of vanishes away. And I can't get to sleep at night, the parking lot's so loud and bright. The AC hasn't worked in 20 years, probably never made a single person cold. And I can't say the same to me, I've done it many times. Somebody take me home through those Alabama pines. You can't drive through Talladega on that weekend in October. Just head up north to Jacksonville, cut around and over. Watch your speed in Ballin' Springs. They ain't got a thing to do, they'll get you every time. Somebody take me home through those Alabama pines. Somebody take me home through those Alabama pines.
Oh. A lot of people help make WITS happen, thanks to our broadcast engineer, Rob Byers, and Fitzgerald Theater staff, Tom Campbell, Alan Freckman, Mike Wongan, and Dan Zimmerman. We're on Twitter, at WITS, on Facebook, just look for us, you'll find us, and on the World Wide Web at witsradio.org. You can get information there on past and future shows. All of our shows are podcasts on iTunes. Check us out, write a review if you could. WITS is written by me and Ben Acker and Ben Blacker, Wendy Molyneux and Jeff Drake, Allison Augustine and Lauren McGuire, and Kevin Murphy. We were joined, as always, by music director John Munson and the witnesses, Steve Rome, Joe Savage, Richard Medick, and Janie Winterbauer. Our acting company this week included Katie McEwen and Harmar Superstar. The According to a Recent Study theme song was written by Darren Solomon. We were also joined by musical guest Jason Isbell and, of course, Colin Hanks. Our executive producer is Peter Clowney. WITS was created by our guru of staged events, Tony Boll, senior producer Larissa Anderson, and me. I'm John Moe. Bye now. Hi, folks. It's John Moe again. Here's a little something extra from this week's show, just for you.
Ladies and gentlemen, a singer, an entertainer, a namesake of an old mall not far from us here in St. Paul. Please welcome Harmar Superstar.
Hello.
Too soon now.
Don't go soft without my love. Darling, just go. It's the end of an era, the end of the road. And you just have to let me flow. Whoa, whoa, when it gets cold. I made my mistakes, now I have no home. And don't go soft without my love. Be there to hold you. It's time that I told you. Just let the memories unfold. Yeah, when it gets cold, in your new world and out on your own.
Superstar with John Munson and the Witnesses. His latest album is Bye Bye 17, available now where records, compact discs, and cassettes are sold. Please welcome Jason Isbell.
Thank you.
You want to grow up to paint houses like me, with a trailer in my yard till you're 23. You wanna feel old after 42 years. Keep dropping the hammer and grinding the gear. Well, I used to go out in a Mustang, a 302 Mark 1 in green. Tell me in your mind, made you in the back, and I sold it to buy her ring. And I learned not to say much or nothing, so I figure you already know. But in case you don't, or maybe you forgot, I'll lay it out real nice and slow. Called Industrial Park, and I worked hospital maintenance, tech school, just to memorize Frigid Air Park. But I got to missing your mama, and I got to missing you too. So I went back to painting for my old man, and I guess that's what I. Yeah.
Thank you, Jason Isbell.